Welcome to Anchored in the Word.
You know, the ear, we can hear certain things out of the ear, we can discern certain things out of the ear, but seeing is believing, right? I mean, that's what they say anyway. Not hearing is believing, seeing is believing. So the idea is, Job came to know God in a deeper way. Yeah, he was a godly man. He was blameless. He was upright. He shunned evil. But he wasn't sinless or anything, but the idea was he could grow too. And he did. And he came to know God through his suffering. He learned obedience through suffering, just as it says Jesus did.
When I'm anchored deep in your clean love, I'm anchored deep in who you are. I'm anchored deep in holy word. I'm anchored deep.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Coastlands, in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman.
It's always possible to know God more. He allows things in our lives in order to draw us nearer. And often those are the times that can make or break our devotion to Him. When you suffer, what's your response? Blame? Anger? You may never know that reason for loss or heartbreak, but drawing near to Him can get you through it. At the close of Pastor Bill's message today, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word, subscribe to the podcast, or get in touch with us. But for now, please open your Bibles to the book of Job, chapter 42, verse 5, as we join Pastor Bill.
Starting a new book of the Bible tonight, so if you'd open your Bibles to the book of Job. I don't know, every other place I see that word, it's always job. But only in the Bible is it Job, right? I mean, it's job everywhere else. But open your Bibles to the book of Job. I knew a young man named Job, believe it or not. Can you imagine naming your child Job? I didn't even realize it for a long time. His name was Hobe. They called him Hobe. He was Hispanic. So they don't say J, so it's Hobe. Hobe. And then I finally told him, where did you get that job name Hobe from? You know, Hobe. He goes, it's in the Bible. I went, Job. You know, no, it's J-O-B, Job. You know, and I thought, oh, okay. I guess there must have been a real spiritual parents, because instead of just seeing the suffering as what we see as we look at this book, they probably saw the ending. You know, the person who can see God in a deeper way, maybe they said, we want this child to be able to know God in a deep way. You know, so that's a good name to give your child, I guess, Job. But as we look at this book of Job, we've come to the place in the Bible that's called the poetic books, poetic. And not necessarily that we're going to see a lot of rhyming and things like that, like we would think of poetry. It's Hebrew poetry, which is a little bit different. But we do, the first five books of the Bible are called the Law, the Pentateuch, the Law. Then we have the historical books from Joshua all the way up to the end of Esther, the history of Israel. And now we come to the poetic books. And they're going to be speaking more to people's lives. And, you know, when we get to the book of Psalms, we're going to look at Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. Those are the poetic books of the Bible. And so tonight we start into the book of Job. People believe, the scholars believe, that this is one of the oldest books in the Bible. Probably the oldest book in the Bible. We don't know who wrote it. Some say, you know, it was Moses. But we don't really know for sure. Why do we think it's one of the oldest books in the Bible? Some believe that Job was a contemporary of Abraham. That puts it way back. One of the reasons is it says in the book that Job lived 140 years after these things happened in his life that we're going to read about. So that puts him, probably because he had 10 kids, we know that, so that if you do the math on that and figure he was maybe 60 or 70 when he got after at the point the stuff happened, and he lived to be then another 140 years, probably 200 to 210 years old, Job was when he died. And we know that that's not, in modern day, people don't live that long. But there was a time in the Bible, you know, Terah, Abraham's dad, was 205 when he died. And then, you know, the patriarchal period, we have other guys. Abraham lived to be 175, Isaac 185, Jacob 140-some. So, you know, it kind of places him with the lifespan in that period of time. It makes perfect sense. And there are other reasons. Another reason that we think that he lived in those times was because of his wealth. As we'll see, that he's probably the most wealthy guy. You know, the Warren Buffett or the the gates of those times, but it wasn't measured. His wealth wasn't measured in gold and silver. In those days, wealth was measured by the servants that you had and the animals that you had, the camels, and he talks about how many of those, when it speaks of his wealth, it speaks to that. Another thing, in this book of Job, he's a godly man, but there's no mention of the Mosaic law. There's no mention of the tabernacle. We know that he did burnt offerings, but it was probably, why is that? Because it was before the law. I mean, a righteous man would know of the Mosaic law, so it was before that. No Levitical priesthood is mentioned in the book of Job, which puts it before the law. Now, these are just some reasons and some ideas of when this thing, when it, the book of Job, where it was at in time. The wealthiest man around. But what we're going to see is, as we think about this book of Job, some questions come up, you know. Job asked them himself, why? You know, the question of why God? Why would a loving God? Why would God allow this in my life? You know, and Job finds himself, he's asking questions. Or we can ask the question that a lot of people ask. Why does God allow suffering? I mean, why does God allow? After all, you can make a case for, well, is that, where did that storm come from? Was it like God just kind of whipped it up and allowed it to come here? And here's what I would say to you. This is what I do know, is that God's sovereign over the universe. I believe he's in control of the wind and the waves. He can stop any wind he wants and any wave he wants to at any particular time. He can do that. He can change the jet stream. And I'm sure he makes the weather for his purposes to glorify his son, I'm sure. But we have to say that God allowed what happened here. God allowed it. And so we know, we get to see something that's really somewhat rare, I think. But in this book of Job, we get to see behind the scenes. Behind the scenes. Things, now keep in mind that there's things that Job didn't know. That even makes the story of Job even that much more fantastic, in that he didn't have the Old Testament to go by. He didn't have the New Testament to go by. You know, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. He didn't have that. He didn't have the Old Testament, but he had a relationship with God, and he trusted God through it all. It says about Job that through it all, he never sinned against God in his suffering. And the book of Job is a book that we can certainly go to when we're going through something and think, well, you know, it's always good to have somebody that you know suffers more than you. I think, you know, that somehow we want to compare our suffering with somebody else's. And there's nobody that suffered more than Job. I think Jesus did, and not just the going to the cross part. There were many people that went to the cross and suffered physically what Jesus suffered. That was the way that the Romans conducted capital punishment. And so other men went there, but Jesus suffered things that we'll never experience. And that is the one thing that he suffered, I think, that was the hardest thing for him, was the separation from the Father for a time, the broken fellowship with the Father. So I would say to you that even though Job suffered a lot in life, Jesus, we always hold him up as a standard for suffering, for doing the most good, but Jesus is the one who suffered the most. Keep that in mind as we go through this. And the hope is, as we go through this book of the Bible, that the same thing will happen to us that happened to Job. What? I know. I don't mean what that sounds like, okay? Now, I know this about the Bible by teaching the Bible. Maybe you've discovered this by being in a church that goes through the Bible. And I even pray this for us sometimes, that not that we just wouldn't go through the Bible, that the Bible would go through us. You know what I mean by that? That we would grow thereby, that our lives would be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Now, how that happens, it's not just about reading a bunch of stories about people that lived a long time ago. It's that the Word becomes flesh. You know what I mean? We live these things out. When we learn something from the Word, God gives us opportunity to walk in these truths. So I got to tell you something. I'm like coming to the book of Job, and I've had these thoughts many times, like, Lord, I can't skip it because we're going through. That's one of the things about going through the Bible. In my mind, I thought about, well, I don't really want to experience even some of what he experienced right now. You know what I mean? I mean, I've got to be honest with you, because I've seen it in the past when I go through a book of the Bible, God allows me to experience these things. So they become more real for me. So when I'm up here, it's more real. So I'm thinking, you know, let's just go to, let's Let's go to the book of Psalms. Let's start. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I do want what's found at the end of this book. The thing that happened to Job, I want that to happen to me. And I want that to happen to you. We get a behind-the-scenes look, but I'm going to tell you something. You know, sometimes you read the end of the book to find out the ending. Here's the ending. This is Job, his own voice. At the end of this thing, almost the very end, verse 5 of chapter 42, the last chapter, he says, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. And that says to me, you know, the ear, we can hear certain things out of the ear, we can discern certain things out of the ear, but seeing is believing, right? I mean, that's what they say anyway. Not hearing is believing, seeing is believing. So the idea is, Job came to know God in a deeper way. Yeah, he was a godly man. He was blameless. He was upright. He shunned evil. But he wasn't sinless or anything, but the idea was he could grow too. And he did. And he came to know God through his suffering. He learned obedience through suffering, just as it says Jesus did, as a matter of fact. So my prayer is for me and for you, is that by the end of this book that we will know God. We know him by the hearing of the ear now, but we want to be more up close and personal. We all need that to know God more in a deeper way. Now, don't be afraid of what's going to happen. Don't be afraid. See, that's one of the things about this God that we serve. He loves us. He loves us. And he allows things in our lives for the purpose of drawing us nearer to him. Don't be afraid of that. Don't ever be afraid of that. He's going to always be with us. He was with Job in the sufferings. Oh, his friends weren't necessarily with him all the time. But God even used that. See, in Job's suffering, remember, we'll see about his friends that come, his well-meaning friends, and they want to give him some counsel after 7 days of saying nothing. That was the best thing they could have done, was say nothing. It was comforting. But then they started talking and everything else, and they weren't that much of a help. But what happened through it all, God, they got to experience God through Job's suffering too. So God's doing multifaceted things. I can see it through the storm that came through here, this big wind that came through here. The wind and the waves. I can't tell you, it's just the tip of the iceberg of what God is doing in the body of Christ and then beyond that. So we need to be encouraged and not be afraid of going through the book of Job. And I like what someone said, they coined it, America needs more jobs. Now think about that. America needs more jobs. And I think that America needs more Jobs. We need to see God. We need to know who God is. That's really what we need. That's really what the church needs. That's man's greatest need. And I say, be like Job. Don't think of it as the suffering. Think about the end of the story. I need to see God in my life. I need to see him in the world. So we pick it up, this book of Job, starting off in verse 1. By the way, one more thing. This theme of the book of Job, we can kind of lay that out now, and then as we go through, kind of be reminded of that as we go through. Here's what it is. It's that God is worthy of our trust. The God of the universe is worthy of our trust, even when we can't understand his ways in our lives. He's still worthy of our trust, even when we don't understand it. Because Job did not understand what was going on in his life at that point in time. Oh, he knew that he had boils on him. He could see that plainly. He knew that his children had died. He knew that he lost all his belongings. Oh, he knew that. He just didn't know why it was happening. And we will learn as we go through this that the God that allowed that in Job's life allows things in our lives, and we can trust him through it. He is worthy. Now, we go into verse 1. Now, what we see in this first chapter is a behind-the-scenes look, at least in one man's life anyway. And remember, Job couldn't know what we know today. He didn't see that in the heavenly realm. But we're going to see a behind-the-scenes look at how God and how this universe of his works, a part of it. Let's pick it up in verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz. Now, we don't know where Uz was, okay? We don't know where Uz was. We don't know where Uz is, or if it still is. I got to say this. I know I'd say it. The Wizard of Uz. Right? I can't. That's what made me think of. But we don't know where it is, where it was. But we know this, that I want to say this to you because it says, there, whose name was Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. Now listen, some people believe, some smarty pants scholars believe some that they're wrong, that Job is just, it's poetic, he's not a real person, it's just a person that they use to figure, you know, so you could go through suffering. Listen, I want to say that to you. If you read your Bible, you won't come up with ideas like that. Why is that? Because Job is mentioned other places in the Bible. And I'm going to give you just a couple places where he's mentioned. He's mentioned in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 14:14. Just read it real quick because this is important. If you wondered, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. Ezekiel 14:14 says this. Easy to remember, right? Ezekiel 14:14. Even if these three men... He's talking in the context about judgment, okay, at this point in time. He says, even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord. That's the Job of the Bible. That's the Job that's the righteous man. And then in James, in the New Testament, once in the New, once in the Old, in James chapter 5, in verse 11, James writes this, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. So we see him mentioned other places in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Guess what? Job was a real person. That's important for us to understand, to know that. This was a real guy. And so we see that, who was this guy? He lived in the land of Uz. His name was Job. And this man was blameless before God. Now, we've seen qualifications for elders. Now, this is the Hebrew word blameless. It was the Greek word blameless. But it doesn't mean sinless. You won't find any of those. So Job was not a sinless man. There's none. There's only been one of those, and that's Jesus, right? But we see that this is what God says about Job. And he says he was a man who was blameless and upright. And that word means that he did things right. He conducted himself with other people in a right way. He was upright. He was blameless. And he was one who feared God and shunned evil. Feared God and shunned evil. Those two things go together. The Bible says this, it's by the fear of God that one departs from evil. So if you're lacking the fear of God, you're not going to have a tendency to depart from evil or to shun evil. That must come first. And what does that mean, a fear of God? Of reverence for God? Knowing who God is. And as we see, when he asks these questions, Job, there was a lot that he didn't know. There was a lot that he didn't understand about the universe. His ignorance is going to be beheld by us as he asks God these questions and God corrects him. But he knew of God. He had light. He knew of this God, and we see that he shunned evil. He feared God, and he shunned evil. He had a reverence for God. And as a result, he shunned evil. He shunned evil. In other words, when the temptation came for him, he chose not to go that way. That's what shunning evil is. Choosing what's right. Now, again, we're not talking about a perfect person, but we are, all of us, every single day, we are faced with temptation in our thought life, the things that come before our eyes. You know, it's just the way that it is. We're in this world, not to be of it, but we're in it. We still have our sin nature as part of us, and so we are confronted because of what's in us, the Bible tells us, because of the wickedness of our hearts, we're tempted by the things of the world. There's going to be a time when that is no more. I'm looking forward to that, but we are facing that now. And we have our free will. God's given us, as Christians, we have the power of God living in us, the Spirit of God living in us. He's given us the right to make right choices, to shun evil. It's the wise way to go, by the way, shunning evil. And by the way, shunning evil today means shunning a lot of what the world says is okay. You know, it really is. And when you shun evil today, and it was probably the same in Job's day, by the way, when you shun evil, you may not be popular. The temptation may come because a lot of other people are doing something. And you choose not to do that. Remember, you're not to fear man. That's what fear man is, when you want to give in to something because everybody's doing it. No, if you fear God, you don't worry about what man thinks about you. So shunning evil, in these days we're living in, it's going to happen more and more that we're living in the days that was talked about in the Word, that evil will be perceived as good. And good will be perceived as evil. That's the way, that's where we're living. We're getting more and more like that as a nation, as a culture. And so know this, is that shunning evil is not going to be popular. But don't do it because it's popular. We do it because we love God. But this was this man, Job. He feared God and he shunned evil. Look what the blessings that God had given him, verse 2. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him, 10 children. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen. That's 1,000 oxen. Yoke them together, there's 2. So that's probably 1,000 oxen. 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. Well, he would need that. Servants. This guy was wealthy. He would need this to take care of all these animals. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. Oh, we know that he's somewhere in the East, right? But this guy was the richest man, the greatest man, had the most stuff, and he feared God. It's interesting. So many times you hear about people that have all this stuff, all these possessions. They're blessed, you could say. But what happens as a result a lot of times is they turn from God because they don't need God. They have so much. They've got so much to take up their time, and they're so busy with all their blessings that they lose track of who gave them the blessings. And it becomes all about the possessions and the things that God's given rather than the giver of the gift. And we need to be careful in it, every one of us. Every one of us. But Job wasn't like that, apparently. He had his life in order. He had his priorities right. Even though he didn't have Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added on to you. He was living it, though. He had light. He just didn't have the word of God in that way, but he was living it. And it says in verse 4, gives us a little insight into the way that he loved his family, and he was a devout man. He says in verse 4, and his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them.
In this message, the beginning of the book of Job, we heard a quick overview about the trials that Job would endure, the man that he would become because of it. Job didn't falter in his faith during the trials that took place in his life. He started out as an upright man who shunned evil and made right choices. After losing everything, he was that and more. He knew God more fully and recognized that everything he had belonged to him.
Now, we want to encourage you to visit our website at anchoredintheword.com. Today's message is available in MP3 and podcast format. Just remember today's date. By far the best way to stay current with all the teachings from Pastor Bill is to subscribe to the Anchored in the Word podcast. We want to take this time, too, to invite you to join us for worship. We meet each Thursday evening for an in-depth Bible study at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. For driving directions and more information, please visit anchoredintheword.com or feel free to give us a call. That number to call is 732-544-2225. Again, that's 732-544-2225.
Remember to join us again here on Anchored in the Word when we will hear more about Job's life and character. He will pray for his children, give offerings to the Lord, and experience God's blessing. But then a fortuitous meeting will take place when the Lord will allow Satan to draw Job away from God. And in one fell swoop, Job's possessions, servants, and family will be destroyed. But Job's response will surprise you. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Join us next time as Pastor Bill continues teaching through the book of Job, right here on Anchored in the Word.